If you have been journeying along with us, then you know exactly what we're going to be talking about today. I mean, you know that it's good when you just read and study through the Bible. You don't have to guess where I'm going. If you study along with us, you know exactly where we're going. And today we conclude our series on spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to read verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, and it reads, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that herein or therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let us have a chance to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to fellowship with one another and encourage one another. We pray for all those who are unable to be with us here today, Lord God, but we send forth your power, your presence, your anointing, and your healing to be with each and every one. Now, Father, we ask for the power and presence of your Spirit to come in and speak to us. Speak to us in a way that only you can. Direct us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to get the sleepiness that may be on us. Help us to get where we got to go, what we're going to eat after church, and everything else off of our mind. And just help us to listen, Lord God. Hear the word, and may you speak and bless the word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. If you agree, say amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you all this morning briefly from the thought, don't forget to pray. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't forget to pray now. Amen. If you're here welcoming with us for the first time, let me just say greetings and welcome to you. There is so much going on. Let me make a brief announcement. Our audio guys have been so busy at work here lately, whether you know it or not. And they have a lot of powerful things that are going on that I want to bring to your attention. In fact, I'll do that a little later this afternoon. But there's a lot of ways that they're servicing you and ways that you're going to be blessed throughout the week through their efforts. And there's some great things going on. Amen. Can you say amen this morning? I'm just giving you a teaser, but they have been working really, really, really hard. And a lot of this stuff that you see going around here is because of their hard work. But this morning, I just want to talk to you from the topic, don't forget to pray. And I have an announcement to make to you all that I've been waiting to make for some time. In a couple months here, in May, I will be graduating with my first master's degree in a double master's program from Liberty University. Yes, I will be graduating. I'm proud to announce that God has been blessing. I have been able to pass every class with an A, except for this most recent class that I made a B, which I wasn't happy about, but I'll explain that in a minute. But God has been good. He has been good, but it has been very hard. It has been very, very hard on me. Any of you who have taken post-baccalaureate studies or done master's level work know how hard and difficult it is. Along with being a full-time pastor, along with being a husband, along with being a father to two very active boys, along with having a wife who often has to travel quite a bit with her job, I have for the last 2 years been struggling with schoolwork. Generally, every week there are several books that have to be read and papers that have to be written and tests that have to be taken, and I have to admit to you, it has been very rough. Last week for me was particularly rough. I don't know if you sensed it or not, but last week was a very heavy week for me. I had finals that I had to take. I had a major paper that was due in a history class where they tried to comprise or combine 8 weeks or all of the church history in 8 weeks of class. And it was really, really heavy. I had a conference last week over in Jacksonville with my good friend Bishop Davis over there, and it took about 2 to 3 days out of my schedule, and it was just heavy. It seemed like when I turned around, so many members were either sick or going through something, or there was some hectic thing that was going on here at the church or in the community, and it was a really, really tough week. In fact, it was so difficult for me to where I literally considered giving up. I literally did. I literally considered throwing in the towel and saying, you know what, I'll just come back to school and try to finish another time, because it was just really, really weighing on me. The enemy was playing with my mind. He was putting all types of thoughts into my mind that I should give up, that this wasn't worth it, that I was going to fail these classes. My wife knows what I was talking about. I mean, it was so difficult and so heavy, and he was telling me to just give up, and I was really in a state of just being beat down. Anybody ever been there before? I knew that I was in spiritual warfare. I was smart enough to understand that, but yet none of it was making sense to me. I knew that I had the belt of truth. I knew what the Word of God said, that I could do all things through Christ. I knew what the Word of God said. I knew that I had the breastplate of righteousness on. I was living in righteousness to the best that I knew how. And when I made a mistake or sinned, you know, I was quick to confess to God and go to Him and ask that I might stay in righteousness. I had peace with God. You know, I knew that my sins had been forgiven. I had taken the shield of faith, and I knew what God can do, and I was acting on it. I was actively going to class and fighting, not just believing I was going to pass, but I was working hard. I had the helmet of salvation on. I knew that I had been delivered from the power of sin, and that these thoughts and things that I had did not have control over me. I even knew and had the Word of God. And I had the Word of God, and I was using it while I was taking these tests. And when these thoughts were coming to me, I was taking the sword of the Spirit and speaking against it and saying no. But yet still, with all of that, I was still getting beat down, and I was discouraged. Anybody ever had stuff like that going on? I'm just being transparent this morning. I know some of you are super spiritual, and you never have moments to where you get down and everything in your life is going straight, and you never have any times to where you feel like getting beat down. But I was beat down last week. And I don't know about you. I mean, sometimes you can smile in front of everybody else, but inwardly you could be beat down and discouraged and everything inside of you. I mean, I was sitting here giving encouragement when in actuality I was the one in need of encouragement. I was really beat down. And so I was thinking on this, and God sent me a word of encouragement from a very weird person. And I was sitting there talking to my dad. And yes, I called him weird. Let me tell you how let me show you how he used to do me. Oh, you get over it. But I was really discouraged and really beat down. And I went to talk to him, because you hear us joking around, but we're really close. And I talked to him generally about everything that's going on in my life. And I was telling him about how I was feeling, and that I was struggling, and that I really wanted to give up. And he asked me a question, and he said, "Son, how much praying have you been doing on that?" And when he said that, I recognized that I hadn't been doing as much praying as I should have. You have to understand that as a pastor, I pray all the time, okay? I wake up in the morning, I pray in the morning, I pray in the evening, I pray for each and every one of you generally every day. I pray for my wife, I pray for my children. It's not that I was not praying. I necessarily wasn't praying about the stuff that I was actually going through. There's a difference. What I found myself was, when I started reflecting on it, was that I was doing more complaining than I was doing praying. There's a word in this for somebody. I was doing more complaining than I was praying. praying. I was doing more smiling and standing before everybody, making it seem like everything was okay and that everything was in order, and trying to carry this burden on my own more so than praying about it. But the point of what Paul is talking about here in these first two verses, in these this 18 through 20, he's reminding us of something very important, and that is, when putting on the armor of God to stand against the devil, you cannot forget about the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. You can have the armor, you can do all the stuff that we were talking about, and we've been talking about spiritual warfare and how to put this armor on, but the armor doesn't work without one thing, and that is prayer. You cannot forget about prayer. So in verses 18 through 20, there's three things that Paul reminds us not to forget about when you're going through. Number one, he says, don't forget when to pray. Number two is, don't forget how to pray. And then number three, he says, don't forget who to pray for. So when you look at verses 18 through 20, which we're about to go through, there's three things he reminds us not to do as we conclude this chapter on spiritual warfare. These are literally the last two verses of Ephesians. The rest of it is just kind of a benediction. These last two verses, he says, don't forget when to pray, don't forget how to pray, and don't forget who to pray for. So the first thing he says is, when you're going through spiritual warfare, don't forget when to pray. If you look there in verse 18, notice what it says. It says praying what? Do you see that? It says praying always. Now, maybe you are like me and you're saying, well, I do pray. I pray in the morning at 6:30, 5 o'clock, whatever time you wake up and you pray. And I pray in the evening, and you have your time to when you pray. And you say, I do this consistently, so I'm doing good. But Paul encourages us. He said, that's good when you pray like that, but he encourages us not just to pray during those specific times. He says, pray always. What does he mean when he says always? How many know that you can't pray always? Sometimes you got the word, you can't pray every second of the day, right? So does he mean pray every second of the day? No, because what he's saying is, when you look in the Greek, that Greek word there is not the Greek word chronos, which is a specific time, which is a specific hour. You know, when you wake up 6:30 in the morning, it's chronos. You have a specific time in which you do that. The word he uses is not chronos. He says pray always, or pray kairos, which is, if you take a concordance, it means opportunity. Not a specific time, it means opportunity. So what is he saying? He's saying we should pray not just in the morning or at night, but in every opportunity that we have, we are to pray. How many know that the enemy just done attack at 6:30 in the morning? You don't pray just at a specific time, 6:30 at night. You ought to pray always. How many know that sometimes the enemy will pop up on you at different times and you need to pray during the day? There are some things that happens during your day that you don't know about in the morning. How many know that you may be walking in the mall and you thinking everything is good till you see that Victoria's Secret picture on the wall? Well, I would have thought some of the ladies would have said amen. I knew the men weren't going to say amen. But when you're going through, there are things that pop up during the day to where you need to pray that you didn't know about at 6:30. So Paul reminds us that praying early in the morning is good, but you ought to pray always. How many know that sometimes when you go into work and the boss is on the rampage and he's going through yelling and screaming at everybody and I ain't done nothing, and you coming up over here with that drama, that's a time that you need to pray? You didn't know about that at 6:30 in the morning. And so Paul encourages us that there are times where we need to pray that's not at your designated time of prayer. You need to pray always. Why is it important for us to pray always? I got the armor. He says, if I put on all this armor, isn't that supposed to protect me from the enemy's attack? Well, one of the reasons why is because armor alone won't give you victory in spiritual warfare. You can put on all the armor, but John says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Jesus says you can have all the armor, you can have the word of God, you can have everything, but without me, none of that will work. You can have the word of God, but how many know without the God of the word, it's useless, it's pointless, it has no power. You can have the truth of God's word, but without God interpreting it for you, it won't do you any good. So he says, without me, you can do nothing. Prayer, why is prayer so important? It's because prayer invites God to come into your situation. You can't do anything without God. How do you get God into your situation? Through prayer. I like the way how Dr. Tony Evans says it. He says that in the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, you have to understand that when God created man, he gave us the rule over the earth. In other words, because he gave us dominion over the earth, we have the ability to include God in our affairs or not to include God in our affairs. We have the ability to ask God to come and help us or not to ask God to help us. And so God says, I want you to desire for me to come and call me into your situation. If you want me to come, you can include me or not include me. The Bible says in Psalms 50, verse 15, he says, call upon me when? In the day of trouble. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. But I want you to notice what it says. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. When do you call upon him? In the day of trouble or in the time of trouble. You don't just call on him in the morning. You call him when the trouble is there. Come on, somebody. So in other words, God is saying, when you're running throughout your day and you run into problems or you run into conflicts or the husband is acting crazy or everything's going wrong, that's when you call upon me. But here's the thing. He says, if you call upon me, I will deliver you. But notice it says, call upon me and I will deliver you. Here's the thing. If you don't call, you may not get delivered. Do you understand? In other words, here's the thing that I found out with God. There are some things that God will give to you just out of divine grace, but there are some things that God has for you that he won't give unless you ask. So he says, call upon me. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8, it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door shall be opened. Notice what it says. For everyone who asks receives. So in other words, there are some things that if you don't ask, you won't get, even though the Father may have it there for you. Would you be surprised to know that God has angels that are sitting there on assignment waiting to intervene and act on your behalf, and sometimes they are not released simply because you don't ask? Come on, somebody. Let me say that again. God has angels standing on alert, ready to intervene into your situation, but many times they can't act and intervene unless you ask them for them to come. Why do I say that? Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The Bible says that God has angels and he will give them charge. He will give them authority. He will give them the ability to act in your way and they will keep you in all your ways. Anybody need some keeping in your life? Come on, somebody. Anybody need that angel to tell you don't go to the office this day, stay home? It's going to blow up. Don't go there. Anybody need to tell you where the parking space is so when you're in a hurry, you're trying to get to where you need to go? He says he has angels on assignment ready to keep you. He says in their hands they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone. How many know that there's some dumb, stupid decisions that you're making that the angels of God can keep you from? How many know that there's some Pookies and some Tyrones that you don't need to be involved with? And you know the enemy know exactly where you're going to be, and he's going to have that Tyrone walk right in front of you. But the angel of God could have steered you in another direction. He says there are angels assigned to guide you, but here's the thing, you got to ask for them. Imagine you're at your work, and all heck is breaking loose, but you still want peace. God says, call upon me and ask me, and I'll give you the things that you need. You say, Pastor, no, I don't believe in that. I mean, prayer can't do all that, can you? Oh, it can. If you look in the book of Daniel chapter 10, We don't have time to turn there. And I don't know if I think they got the screen up there. Daniel chapter 10, go back and read this later. Some of you will remember this. In Daniel chapter 10, it's a story about where Daniel prayed to God and he asked God to give him an answer. And when you look there in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, I want you to notice what it says. That this is the angel speaking to him. He comes and he says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. What? Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. Why? And I have come in answer to what? Wait a minute. So why did the angel of God come? It was in response to his what? And when he prayed, the Bible says, since the very first time you prayed, I heard it and I was dispatched to come to your aid. Do you see what he's saying there? There are angels that are dispatched when you pray. You involve God in your life. You take the spiritual and ask him to intervene here in the natural. Watch this. See, when I was going through all that drama last week, I needed the presence of God in my current situation. And how many know that the power and the presence of God was already there? I was too busy trying to carry it all on my own. And how many know that some things you go through during the day, you can't wait to 6:30 at night to pray again on? If you wait on till 6:30, you done messed up. You got so much to pray and repent for. You know, I mean, you done messed up your whole day. God says you are to pray to me always. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I pray to God all the time, and it don't seem like any of my prayers are being answered. Anybody ever done that before? To where you've been, oh, God, I got one hand who honest. To where you pray. Listen, here's the thing. Whenever you pray, God is always answering prayer. That's why he says, call upon me in the day and I will answer. So the question is not, the problem is not on God's end. Many times the problem is on our end. Can I give you three things to look out for? There's many things, but can I give you three things to look out for if you praying and God is not answering your prayer? Number one, you need to look and check for sin or disobedience. Listen, sin or disobedience to something God has said will stop him from moving in your situation. Why do I say that? In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 2, listen to what God says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Do you hear what he's saying? It's not that I can't do what you need done. He says, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not that I have not heard what you have said. I heard exactly what you asked for. He says, verse 2, but your iniquities have what? Separated you from your God, and your what? Sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Listen, one of the first things that you should check is, am I doing everything that I know to do that God has asked me to do? Come on, somebody. You can still say amen. If I've been praying for God to bless me in my finances, one of the first things you should be asking is, have I done everything that I know God has told me to do in my finances? Are you tithing? Boy, the amens down went down. I don't even get no looks on that one. Are you tithing? Are you following God's financial principles? Are you sowing? Because how many know that what you sow is what you, and the way you sow is the way you, well, the amen that went down, boy. Oh, my God, I better move on. The first thing you want to look out for is sin or disobedience. It stops God from answering prayer. Number two, another thing you want to look out for is division. Look at your neighbor and say division. Division will stop God from moving. Strife, division. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and 7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as a weakened vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. What does it say? That your prayers may not be what? Okay, so that this one is for married people. This is for father and mother. This is for family. This is for everybody. Wherever division and strife is, the power of God is hindered. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody saying amen now. You've been praying, but you're angry all the time. You're angry at your children. You're yelling. You're screaming. Ain't nobody talking to each other. How many know that even in a church where there's division, the power of God don't move? Come on, somebody. You got to say amen. There are things, listen, I get it all the time. Do this, do that, do this, do that. How many know that the devil, God can't work in division? Boy, I better move on from this point because I'm going to watch my time. You need, wherever there's division, he won't work. Number three is, another way he doesn't operate is when you ask for something that God just don't agree with. How many know that sometimes you ask for stuff that God just don't agree with your request? Oh, boy, I know that's not what you want to hear. But how many know, even as a parent, there are things that your children ask for that you simply just don't agree with? Remember this, when you hear people preach and they talk about the word of God, I believe that Jesus works off of the common sense principle. And you know what that is? That's when you hear him say something that you have to use common sense when you understand it. So in other words, when God says, like we just read, ask and it shall be given unto you. Whatever you ask, you shall receive. Or when you look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and it says, whatever you believe you have, you believe it and you receive it. How many know that common sense tells you that that's not what you think it is? Come on, somebody. If I believe and I ask that I don't have to work, how many know that the Bible also says he who does not work shall not what? Come on now, I'm sitting there getting anointed at home talking about I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do anything. I'm believing God that he's just going to provide me some food at my house and church's chicken is just going to come to my door and I don't have to do anything today. And God says, listen, it doesn't work that way. You got to use common sense. Here's the thing. If some things you ask for, God just doesn't agree with. How many know that if you ask God that I want to be God and you be my servant, that he going to look at you and say, no, I don't agree with that. Oh, come on, somebody. Just somebody just say amen that you understand what I'm saying. There are some requests that you make that God just simply doesn't agree with. In 1 John 5 and 4, it says this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? His will, he hears us. So that means God has a will as a father. There are certain things that he wants for you as his child, and some things that you want, he just ain't gonna give. Anybody ever ask God to be a billionaire? I ain't gonna even lie. I said, God, I don't play lotto, but you ought to let me just play lotto one time and just. But how many know that sometimes that's not the will of God for you? And anybody ever just happy and just give God praise that he don't give you everything that you ask for? I know I am. There's some things that I've asked God for that when I look back, I'm so glad that he did not give me the thing that I asked him for. There's some people that I asked him to put some wrath on that I'm so glad he didn't listen to me. And put his hands on them. Why? Because I would bear the responsibility. I would bear the blood of what I asked him to do. Amen. So he says that we are to pray always. You don't have to pray at a certain time. He says whenever you're going through, when you're at work, whatever the situation is, he says to pray always. But then verse 2, when you look there, the second thing he says that when you pray, he says don't forget how to pray. Look there in verse 18, he says praying always, but then notice what he says, pray with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Do you see that there in verse 18? He says pray always at every opportunity, but then he says when you pray, pray with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. I like the way how the New International Version says, the NIV, it says, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So what does he mean when he says all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer? He's just talking about in every type or form of prayer there is when you pray, pray in all the types of prayer. So in other words, he mentions two specific types of prayers here. Number one, he says prayer in general. Now, you all know what prayer means, right? He says pray always. You know what prayer means. Let me just kind of make this simple because I think sometimes prayer is made too complicated. Prayer just means simply to talk to God. It just means, I think sometimes prayer is made complicated. Have you ever seen somebody who's totally afraid and frightened to pray before other people? Prayer just simply means to pray to God, to talk to God. And how many know that when you talk to God, there's no formality in it at all? When you have a relationship with your father, there's no formality with it. When I talk to my dad, I don't go to him and say, thus, dad, and how art thou doing today, father? And father, I got all of these things. You know, when I go talk to my dad, it's like, dad, man, look, this is what's going on, man. Can we be honest? Listen, when you pray, I'm just trying to help some. When you pray, it's not complicated. It's not formal. When you talk to God, you talk to him just like your father because he is your father. Right? I've heard guys pray to God with the most unsophisticated prayer there is, and it had more power on it than the person using all those big, complicated words. You remember we heard somebody talk about, what was it? Thou who rules and super rules and the daffodils, this man gave a prayer, and it was so exquisite, and so it was like he went and wrote the prayer out. And it was really sophisticated, but to me it didn't have any power because I didn't feel the relationship between you and God. And he says, when you pray, you ought to pray and talk at all times, at every opportunity, is really what he's saying to God. That means when you're at work and you're walking around the building, he says, pray and talk to God. God wants to talk to you. How many know that when you were in love with your boo, she didn't want to talk to you only in the morning and in the afternoon? I know my wife was on me all the time. She wanted to talk to daddy all the time. She wanted to talk to me. Man, I couldn't hardly work. She wanted to talk to me every moment I turned around. So here what God is saying. He's saying, talk to me at all times, not just at 6:30 in the morning or when you go to evening at night. Talk to me all the time. When trouble comes into your life, talk to me all the time. Stop complaining about it. Stop talking to everybody else about it. Come talk to me about it. He says, I want to know what's going on. Come talk to me about it. Here's the thing about prayer. When you talk to God about prayer, there's one thing you need to understand. One is that your prayers don't need to be long. This is some teaching for us. Prayers don't have to be long. Why do I say that? Because Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their what? Come on, somebody. You ain't got to get up and pray for 10 minutes. I think God got it. Come on, somebody. Listen, so God says, when you're talking to me, you can just talk to me in general. It doesn't have to be long. You can just say, God, I'm struggling right now. That's all you need to say. It don't got to be sophisticated. Listen, the second thing is, when you pray, understand that you're not informing God about anything. The purpose of prayer, that's why I think he said you don't need to talk so much, because you're not informing me of anything that I don't already know. Why am I saying that? Because Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew, the next verse, Matthew 6:8, he says, don't be like them, the people who pray forever. He says, for your Father knows what you need before you what? So when you pray, he says, pray to me in all types of prayers. He says, pray with me when general. He says, pray with me in supplication. You see that there? He says, and supplication in the spirit. Supplication is this praying or talking to God, but making a request. Supplication means petition. It means to ask God for something. So he says, pray at all times. He says, don't be afraid to come and ask me for stuff. Anybody glad you got a daddy who say, you can come ask me for some stuff? I had a daddy who didn't want me to ask him for nothing. I used to come in there and ask, he said, go see your mama, go talk to your mama, go talk to your mama. Daddy, can I get $5? I ain't got no money on me. Go talk to your mama, go talk to your mama. But he says he wants you to talk to him in general. He says, I want you to pray with me in supplication, to ask me for stuff. How many know that there is intercession, to where you pray for other people on behalf of other people, right? How many know that there's prayer of thanksgiving? There's prayer of praise. There's all types of praise, listen, of prayer. And he says, when you pray always or at every opportunity in every type of prayer. Prayer in general, prayer in supplication, prayer in intercession for someone, prayer of thanksgiving. You pray in all types of prayers, all types of supplication. But the main thing there is you pray in the Spirit. Do you see that there? He says, pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the question is, well, what does in the Spirit mean? In the Spirit means to pray in agreement or in harmony with the Spirit of God. The word there, in, can mean with or by means of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, he says, when you pray, what you pray needs to be in agreement with what the Spirit of God is praying. Let me try to explain it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27, I'm watching my time. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is probably the New Living Translation. He says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, pleads for us believers, what? In harmony with what? So in other words, the Holy Spirit will never pray or attach himself to a prayer that's not in agreement with the will of God. So when you pray, all types of prayers, all types of general prayers, supplication, all types of intercession, they need to be in agreement with the will of God. Now, the question is, how do I pray in the will of God if I don't know what it is? You see what he just said there? He says, but we don't know what God wants us to pray for. So how am I supposed to pray in the will of God if I don't know what the will of God is? Listen, the way you find out is when you don't know something, somebody has to tell you what it is. Come on, somebody. So in other words, the only way you find out the will of God is the Holy Spirit has to reveal to you what the will of God is, and then you have to come into agreement with it. How do I find out what the will of God is? Listen, that ain't something you can do by just picking up your Bible and reading one time and just hurrying off to work. What's it? He's saying that you have to spend time in prayer and in study and in talking to God. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what the will of God is, and then you pray in agreement with it. Come on, somebody. In other words, you can't always just come to church, hear a sermon, and understand what the will of God is. Sometimes you have to go home and pray on that thing and spend time with that thing and talk to God all the time. God, what is it you want me to do with this job? I really want this job. I don't know if that's really what you want me to do. I'm praying that you get me that job. How many of you know that you can pray all you want, but if it's contrary to the will of God, it ain't gonna happen? So what God is saying is, you got to spend time with me in prayer, in study, to find out what the will of God is and then walk in agreement with our will. Some things we automatically know what the will of God is, right? There are some things that are specific in the Word of God that you can just read and know what His will is. But there are other things in your specific situation that you're trying to figure out. Does God want me to marry Tyrone? Maybe yours is Billy. And the only way you're going to find out what that is you got to spend time in prayer. Let me close with this in the last 5 minutes. Finally, so he says, you got to know and remember when to pray. You got to know how to pray. But then finally, he says, don't forget who to pray for. Look there in verse 18. Notice what he says. He says, praying always with all prayer, all types of prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for what? All the saints. So Paul says that we are specifically to pray for all the saints or believers in Christ. When you are going through spiritual warfare, and you know other people are going through spiritual warfare, Paul says you are to pray for all believers or all the saints. The question I have is, how many of you are praying for each other? How many know that we good at talking about people, but very not so good at praying for each other? Paul is encouraging us, instead of talking about people, instead of pointing out all of their flaws, how much praying are you doing? How many know that we all got problems at our office? Your office is not unique. How many, you know, somebody told me many years ago that when you complain, complaining don't change nothing, but generally makes it worse. So one of the things he's saying is, instead of praying and instead of talking about all the drama going on at your house, at your office, or wherever it is, you need to start praying for other people. How many know that when you don't see somebody at church for a while, how many know that there's many people who aren't here this morning? Here's a question. Do you walk out of here and don't think anything else about them, or do you pray for them? Now, don't lie in the church now. Let's just say what we gonna do. Because the truth of the matter is, many of us have maybe walked out of here many Sundays, didn't see somebody that you know, and didn't pray for them at all. Right? Paul is encouraging us, when you don't see people, you need to pray for them. Someone may be struggling in your group, or someone you know, you need to be praying for them. He says we are to pray for others or the saints, but then he also says in verse 19, and pray for what? He says, pray for me that I may give utterance to other people and may speak openly my mouth boldly. How many of you know that, just in case you don't know, that pastoring sometimes is hard? Can I put myself in the place of Paul here just for a moment? I don't need people talking about me. I need people praying for me. See, I thank God for you who came up to me last week and could just sense that something wasn't right. I thank God for you who came up to me and called me through the week and just said, Pastor, is everything okay? Because it just seemed like stuff is going on. How many of you know that you sometimes are trying to encourage everybody else, but you need encouragement yourself? Paul is sitting here saying, I'm being transparent. I need prayer too. I never understood what my daddy was saying about when you start leading, you become a main target for the enemy. Because when you come up to speak before you to try to encourage you in the word of God, all throughout the week, I'm being attacked just like you. I mean, the enemy be on me trying to get me to catch attitudes with my kids. I mean, how many know he would want to destroy my children? He want my children too. So don't talk about me or don't talk about anybody else. Paul is saying, instead of talking about people, pray for them. If something is not going the way how you want it, don't just go around talking about everybody. Why don't you start praying about it? Anybody ever seen God change some stuff when you start praying? Can I tell you something? God will change some people when you start praying and they don't even realize why they're changing. They'll think that they came up with it, and actually God was the one changing them in the first place. He says, pray for me, pray for one another. He says, how am I supposed to know when people need prayer? How am I supposed to know? Listen, I'm closing with this. He says, number one, watch. Do you see that there? Look at your neighbor, say, watch. That means keep your eyes open and talk to people. Come on, somebody. He says, you're supposed to pray for other saints. Pray for me. How am I supposed to know what you need prayer for? When you come to church, don't just come sit down and then leave. You got to watch. If you see somebody who ain't been here in 2 or 3 weeks, how many know that that's something that you need to be watchful for? If you see somebody who crying, how many know that everybody who cry ain't always in the spirit? Sometimes there's some things going on. Everybody who dress nice don't mean that they rich. So he says, watch, and then he also says, pray with all perseverance, or it means with patience. It means don't just pray for them once, it means keep praying. Keep praying until the deliverance comes. There are some people right now who are struggling with health issues and you would never know it. And do you know why? Because they don't always tell you. But how many know that if you're watchful, you can tell some stuff? They ain't got to say stuff all the time, but if you just watch, you can just tell that something is not going on. And when you see it, you ain't always got to know everything that's going on. I tell people all the time, you don't have to know, you don't have to be in everybody's business. All you need to know is something is going on, and you just cover them in prayer. You know what happens if listen, what would happen if we had a church that just prayed for each other? Do you know the number of marriages that might stay together? The number of relationships with children that might be healed? If we just started looking after each other, and when you see people missing or whatever it is, all you got to do is look around right now today and you see all these whole, I can count 30, 40, 50 people who are not here for one reason or another. How many of you are praying that God brings them back? Don't have me be the only one praying for everybody. Please. Pray for all the saints. Pray for all of them. The Bible says in Matthew 18, 19, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. You know the power we have if we would just get together and pray. Listen, you know we have prayer here the first and third Monday of every month, 6:30, right? 6 o'clock here at the church. First and third Monday. See, everybody talk about prayer, but ain't nobody. How many know that sometimes it's easy to talk more than your mouth want to do? But if you believe that prayer is important, sometimes you can pray at home and praise God, you do that. But how many know that when you get together, the Bible says that when two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst, right? So you can come and pray together and pray for one another. First and third Monday, second and fourth Saturdays at 9 a.m., we're always here praying. Come and pray for one another. Pray for the body of Christ. We need to pray for our president. Boy, I would have thought somebody would have said double amen on that one. The Congress, we need to pray for all these people that God would do a move in our lives. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus,